Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. And it reads, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men." Why? Because all sinned. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come." Type, or a foreshadowing, if you will. But the gracious gift is not like the transgression. Thank God. Because the gracious gift is the gift of salvation. "For if by the transgression of the one, the many die," and they did, "much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many." Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, "And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned." Again, thank you, Lord. "For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For by the one transgression of the one," which is Adam, "death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Isn't that good news? Amen. Death, sin don't have the last say in the life of a believer. Verse 18, "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness," amen, "there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were appointed sinners, even so through the obedience of the one the many will be appointed righteous." Good news all through there. Good news. "As sin did abound, grace did what? Much more abound."
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So we're doing this is one of the most difficult passages, some say, in Romans. Some say the most difficult passage in the whole New Testament. And some further go to say this is the most difficult passage in all of the Bible. And so I thank God for the his grace for us to get into this and begin to understand this. So this is we're teaching it because of the difficulty of it. We're teaching it on Wednesday, midweek, and on Sunday. So we kind of go over and reiterate so they can kind of get it just kind of sink in. So just reviewing quickly, when he said verse 12, "therefore," which refers to minimally the preceding verses 8 through 11, but you could go all the way back to Romans chapter 1. Remember, "therefore" always helps us to look back, and it links. That's a linking word, what's behind to what's going forward. So "therefore," just as through one single man, Adam. Remember, he said Adam is an actual man. He didn't represent all of humanity. He was an actual human being. There are those out there now. Whenever I say stuff like that, it's because there's such a programmed effort by Satan to discredit the truth of God's word, which he can't do, but he's trying to muddy the waters so that people are misinformed, misunderstood. And so, you know, to try to say that Adam didn't exist, he was just a figure or representation. No, there was a real man, Adam. He was the first human being created. And that real man represented the entire human race. And he disobeyed. Through his sin. What was his sin? Disobedience. Sin entered into the world. What does that tell us? Sin wasn't always here. Boy, boy, what an environment to live in. A sin-free environment is just a dream. Well, you keep on living and keep on and die. Oh, yeah. For to be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. For me to live is Christ, to die, gain. We gain. So we're going to find out what that sinless existence feels like for eternity. So we got hope for tomorrow. Amen. Amen. But right now in this world, there was no sin at one point, but it entered. And what happened when sin entered? Death followed. There was no physical death. Can you imagine? It's hard to. Nothing died. Nothing died. Fall. There wouldn't have been fall. Probably wouldn't have been winters because death just reigns all through that. Yes, the leaves are pretty when they're turning all those wonderful colors, but they're dying. There was no death of any kind. Death is here because sin entered into the world. Sin entered. Death followed. Keep reading. Enter into the world, death through sin. Death only here again because of sin. And sin is only here because of disobedience. And so death spread to half of the people. All men, not men as in males, but all of mankind. Every human being. In other words, sin has spread into the life of every person ever born into this world. Why? Because all sinned. All sinned. Got to keep going over it. All sinned. And again, that's in the aorist. That's a Greek tense. And I like, we've heard it, some of you are already ahead of me, and I'm thankful that you've heard it enough to say, okay. So let me put this up right quick. Thank you for your patience. Sorry. Okay, so all sin, King James says have, so that can be different, can throw it out of there, can throw things off. Now we got to get to a little Greek. Thank you for those who've heard it for three times, for four times. You can hear it again. Aorist tense, this word sinned is a verb, and it's in the aorist, A-O-R-I-S-T, that tense, Greek tense, means a once for all past completed historical act. Now, I go over all that. It's a simple past tense is what it really is. An action that happened back in the day. Now, the aorist tense in the Greek does not have a reference as to when something happened. Like, how far back in history did it happen? So it's just a simple past. But because we're talking about Adam, then that gives us a point of reference. Does that make sense? It's a once for all, past, completed, historical, here's the key word, act, not acts. That's why I keep seeing it says, through one man, we're going to read it over and over again, through one man, sin entered. And through the transgression of the one, sin, this and that and so forth happened. This is a once for all, completed past tense act. And then we notice too, it is this word sinned is aorist. That's the tense. Active, meaning that we did this. We did this. And indicative means that it is a fact that this happened. So that sets the tone for what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us through the Apostle Paul. He is saying through this one act by this one man that happened in the past, we all sinned that same act. And that's what we're going to pick up right now. And you said, well, that's not fair. We're going to get into that. And I'm going to remind you, And whenever God seems unfair, you're probably talking about the God of the Bible. Because the God of mankind is a made-up God. A God to me God. I know you've heard it before. What is a God to me God? Well, my brother, my sister, what do you think about God? Well, God to me is... That's a God to me God. It's not the God of the Bible. And you can recognize all your made-up gods never look like the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is a God who is holy. And we already don't like that. He's sovereign, meaning we don't run our life. He owns us if you're born again. But that's what his word says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, you are not your own. He says that. For you were bought with a price. And I know my black people, no black preacher in his right mind would ever teach that because that's slave talk. But if I'm going to teach the whole counsel of God, then I got to teach what God said. He said, you're not your own. You don't belong to you. You're bought with a price. So therefore, glorify God in your body because your body does not belong to your physical body. Literal body doesn't belong to you. He bought all of you. And so everything you do, think, and say is to be to his glory. Because he owns you. And by the way, the lie is that's restricting and that's I don't know, imprisoning, whatever word you want to use. But you got to realize you are a slave to somebody. And the word of God says in Romans chapter 6, either you're a slave to sin, yeah, unto death, or a slave unto righteousness, unto life and obedience. You're a slave to somebody. That's a lie that you're free because you're doing whatever you want to do. You're a slave to your passions, to sin. Yes, yes. There is, the true freedom is in Christ Jesus. Word of God says, and Dr. King once said, somewhere I read, hallelujah, that whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. True freedom is in Christ Jesus. For you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. The true rendering of free at last, thank God Almighty, is found in Christ Jesus. Not when we get the right resident in or the right politicians. They have nothing to do with our freedom. Our freedom comes from one king and not a president. Now that would preach.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The king in all his glory and in all his beauty is the one that truly sets us free.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Yes, so we've sinned. We sinned in Adam. You say, well, that's unfair. I don't get that. Well, that's what we're going to get to today. I'm going to talk about that today. And really, when you look at this, the fact that it's active, and that which means it's not passive. Passive means something is being done to you. Active means you're doing the action. So this, by this being in the active, we're counted as having literally sinned when Adam sinned. We're counted as having done that with him. We talked about children. It's always good to go back to the babies. Look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Imputed means it's not held against you because there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. When did the law come? Moses. Adam was the fall. Death reigned from Adam and his fall until Moses when the law was given. Even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. Now, what in the world does that mean? It's good to hear it again and again and again. When he said we didn't sin after Adam, to Adam, Adam was given, we don't have to turn there again, but Genesis 2:15, you can turn there. Why not? Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. It doesn't hurt to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. Genesis 2:16. The Lord God commanded the man, who's the man, y'all? All right, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Literal Hebrew, dying, you will die. And that's something. Verse 16, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. And that's something. You can eat anything you from anywhere you want. Just one tree, leave it alone. And that's where we exactly go. That's what we tell the child. Child don't even know that something, a plug is even there or something. You go, hey, don't touch that plug. And next you know, there you go, right to the plug. That's just us. But let's stay on course. What I want you to understand, God gave Adam a specific, direct command that was openly and plainly stated in words. We'll go over that again. God gave Adam a specific, direct command that was openly and plainly stated in words. Is that not true? He knew it. He said it to him. He spoke it to him. What Adam then, let's turn over to chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. You see then that Eve starts to looking. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to who? Her husband. What? With her? And he ate? He wasn't off somewhere farming the garden in the back left corner of Eden. He's standing there right there like a bumpy log, as my wife says. Instead of a bump on the log, a bumpy log. Pray for me. Wow. Well, when he ate, he then sinned against a known, openly stated law. Is that not true? We just read the law, and he turned around and sinned against that law. Well, when it says at the end of verse 14 that death reigned over the even those who had not sinned in the way, likeness, in the way or manner of the way that Adam sinned, because we didn't have an openly stated specific law. You follow me? And yet, we're dying, including babies. Children die. Did children die between the fall? Do I have that up? Yes. Did children die between the fall and the giving of the law? Did children die in these? Yeah, they most certainly did. And I know it's hard to preach this. I know it is. But either I got to do it or I need to get out of the pulpit. It's hard to tell you that children died, babies died, because they too were guilty of the sin that Adam committed. Or else, why did they die? Go back to verse 12. Go back to Romans, if you're not there already. Got to read it again and again and again and again. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Okay, so that's how sin got here, and that's how death got here. And so death spread to all men because, thank you, Auntie, all sinned. That would include babies, children. All sinned. That means physical death is here, penally speaking, because of sin. And babies die as well. Now let's keep with the studies. What sin then did the babies, if you will, commit? Because remember, go back to here, it's active. You did it, I did it, we did it, everybody did it. Born, unborn, everybody. What sin did we commit? It was an imputed sin. Meaning, Adam's sin was credited or deposited or charged to our account, if you will. So when Adam sinned, we were also charged with his sin. And we are counted as having sinned with Adam in the eyes of God. Now, this has been so rough that theologians and commentators and sermons being preached have tried to get around. Well, it didn't really mean that. It doesn't, like, for example, the first view of looking at this is all of sin, is it means have sin, committing acts of sin. Well, the aorist tense gets rid of that because it's one act. Other views are you have a sin nature. Well, we do. We do have a sin nature, but that's not what this says. Sin nature is not a verb. You follow me? That's a phrase that states it's a statement of being. We have a sin nature. That's not what it says. It says all sinned. We have to stay with what the Lord taught and not what man wants to put in there. Remember, that's called isogetical teaching is to put your meaning over on top of what God intended to make it more palatable to the masses. We're not politicians. We're not trying to run for popularity. We want to teach the word of God. Because when you teach the truth of God's word, guess what? Then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Because the gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God. That's the power. We just got to just teach it. And she prayed for me, just sow the word and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Because he gives the increase, amen?
Amen?
So what it says, it has sin, not have a sin nature, not committed multiple sins, but we all have sin. So the sin that happened was Adam's sin was imputed to us. When he sinned, we sinned right along with him. In other words, God looks at us and views us as sinners just as he viewed Adam at that moment and counted us as having sinned right along with him. I can hear, which I can understand, I can hear one say, that is not fair. I don't get that. I'm going to help you out. I don't get it either. But I don't have to get it. I can understand what is being taught. We know what is being said. It's clear. We don't quite like the why. We know what he said. It was imputed to us. We know those are facts. We don't like it. We said, why? Why would he do that? I'm going to quote to you from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who taught this sermon himself. And this is what he said at the end, just right around the same time where I'm about to go to the next part. Doesn't seem fair. He says, quote, I don't understand it myself. I don't come into the pulpit to say things that I understand. I come here to expound the scripture. And so I'm going to read his quote. He said, as good as I'm saying with him, I don't come here in the pulpit to only talk about things I understand, or things that make sense, or things that seem logical and rational. Because I know if I think if it's right, Mr. Glenn is shaking his head, you all would be in trouble. What else would I talk about? Because Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my ways and my thoughts are not yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. My ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Whatever you're thinking, it's not me, saith the Lord. So I don't come into the pulpit to say things that I understand. I come to expound the scriptures. Hallelujah. Period. He goes on to say, if you once began to introduce that argument of, I don't understand this, I don't see this, the moment you began to bring in that argument that you don't understand and that you don't see, you have left faith. You become a rationalist. Your understanding is the authority. You've left faith in God. You become a rationalist, meaning everything got to make sense before I can believe it. But you know that's not true. Everybody in here, I doubt if folks in here really know how a television works. How you take pictures from across the globe and end up on your screen. And a screen now that is as flat as a mirror. How in the world do you do that? Where's all the electrodes and the diodes and all the other stuff that's up in there? You don't know how that works. But you'll watch you some TV in a heartbeat. How can you take a phone call from someone else and the voice appears in your ear? Yet you use a telephone. You're not a rationalist. Those don't make any sense. How do you start a car with a spark and it don't blow up and there's gas in the car? Why doesn't it blow up every time it starts? You gonna stop driving cars because you're a rationalist? Easy for you to say. Difficult for me. No, don't let Satan lie to you. You don't understand a lot of things. There's a lot of things. There are gases all in the air. H2O, hydrogen, two parts of oxygen. No, salt. Salt, whatever the two things are salt. Separately, those salt are, what is it?
Sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride, and what's the other one?
For salt.
Yeah.
Sodium chloride.
Oh, sodium.
Sodium and chloride.
Sodium and chloride. I got you. Sodium by itself is poisonous. Chloride by itself is poisonous. You take them together, equals salt, which is seasoned, and you can put it in your system. Go figure that one out. Don't figure that one out. Don't let being a rationalist cause you not to believe the word of God. I'm going to repeat it again. So the moment you begin this to bring in that argument that you don't understand and you don't see, you left faith. You're not trusting in God anymore, who brings you understanding concerning his word. You become a rationalist. Your understanding is the authority. Your understanding then becomes, has the final say, not the word of God. It is no longer the word of God. By the way, he asks at the end, who understands the doctrine of the Trinity? Who understands the doctrine of imputation from Jesus Christ? Where it says, the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Jesus. Who understands that? We're not arguing about that, nephew. You know, we love that. He took our sin and put it on Jesus and took his righteousness and imputed, credited deposited, and charged his righteousness to us. We have no problem with that. That's why in Romans 5, 13 all the way down to 19, you have a parallel. Just as this happened, so this happened. You want to rebuke the one and accept the other. It is just as irrational that he gave us his righteousness and Jesus took our sins and did it willingly. Amen. That's irrational. That's illogical. He called God, Yahweh, caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Jesus, Isaiah 53 and 6. That doesn't make any sense. Through no goodness of our own, he did that. But do we understand it? No, doesn't make sense. If you're born again, you got to accept both sides. He called the sin of Adam to fall on us, and he caused the righteousness of God to fall on us and forgave us of that sin. And then going to invite us to spend eternity with him. That's irrational. And then the word of God says we going to sit at the table in eternity and he going to serve us. Where have you ever heard my black people of the master dying for the slave?
Amen.
Where have you ever heard of that, Michael Andrew? I gotta say his old name. Where have you ever heard of the master dying for the slave? That's what happened. We sow into that culture. My name is Toby. Get out of that. Jesus is not that kind of a master. This master died for the slave, gave his life for the slave, and he's going to serve the slaves. He invited us into the house. No more house and field Negroes. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. We all in his house forevermore. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Bless the name of the Lord Most High. Lord, get us out of the black slave thing, please. Because it's a barrier to the word of God. And it's designed by Satan. He got designs for the Hindu believing in reincarnation and all. He got designs for every culture to not accept the word. And one of that is black people and slavery. Christianity. You know, the white man used Christianity, you know, to keep the black man, you know, down. I said, sir, he misused the Bible. There wasn't a correct usage of the Bible, because in that very Bible that the slave master was holding, it says don't kidnap. If they would have just followed that one rule, slavery would have never happened. American slavery, that is. Because everybody came over, it was kidnapped. How about we just start there? Like Alfred Fellow Horton Jr.'s friend told him, have you ever read the Bible? That challenged that brother. Am I right, my brother? Amen. He was talking all about it and everything and never read. Most people don't know what's in the Bible.
Hey.
It says, love ye your neighbor. That would have too canceled out the way you treated your slave. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. That's what's in the Bible.
Amen.
It's a book under attack because it's an all-powerful almighty and Satan hates it. He got every little thing he needs for every culture to not accept the Bible. Amen. I come to expound the scripture. That's my job. I come to teach the scripture. Whether I understand it or not, doesn't make any difference. As long as I understand it enough to teach you, then I have at that moment discharged my duties as a sower, sowing the word. Glory be to God. I love my job too. I love it. Call it a job is almost to insult the title. But for lack of a better word, I love the job. I'm thankful. Because I get to read exciting things that Yahweh caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. I get to read exciting things like that. And teach you that makes any sense either. But I thank God I embrace with all my heart. Yeah. I'm so thankful that he removed my sin. Yes. Hallelujah. Because he didn't have to. You know he didn't have to. He didn't owe us nothing. He didn't owe love to Jacob. He chose to love Jacob. He didn't owe anything to Esau. He chose not to love Esau. That's his business. That's his mercy. I do what I want with my mercy. It's my mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion. We ought to be on our knees every day thanking God. Thank you for having compassion and mercy on me. Because you didn't have to do it. Hallelujah. I thank God as a black man, he broke me through all that stuff that I heard growing up in the black community, around black teachers, around black uncles and neighbors and all of that. Broke through all of that. Save me in spite of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. And I understand that in the end, it's going to be folks up in heaven from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation anyway. So if you got trouble with your Arab brothers, your Asian brothers, your African brothers, your European brothers and sisters, you better get yourself together. Because they're going to be all up in there. Hallelujah. I was telling one white guy with that white guilt thing, you know, from college out there. And tell us, man, don't be no hip hop section in heaven, man. Yeah. What are you talking about? Cause they was happy, that was cool. They signed, you know, they just signed a deal, whatever, Reach Records and was going, you know, Reach Records got Trip Lee and all them cats in there, and then it's cool, you know. I'm like, man, ain't nobody gonna be. They gonna be an Asian section or their own thing. Gonna be the, you know, the hip hop section over here, the educated black section over here. Cause they ain't gonna be the hip hoppers. Ain't none of that in heaven. We're gonna be singing as one. It says, and it said, when we sing as one, it's gonna be like the voice of many thunders. Ooh-wee. That's gonna be powerful. Hallelujah. Right next to my Asian brother and sister. Hallelujah. Next to the African, the European, the Indonesian. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Of every tongue and tribe, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be to see that. Hallelujah. Let's practice down here now. You got the love of God in you. Get along with everybody. They're all made in the image and likeness of God. That's what we got to realize. That's what's the common denominator in every single human being, rich or poor, black or white, red or brown, slave or free, have nots, wrong side of the track, right side, whatever it is, they are all made in the image of God and likeness of God and are worthy to be treated with dignity and respect. If we stay right there, we're going to be just fine as God's people. That's my political moment, and I approve this message. Pray for me, Sister Orlando. Tired of that. Oh, that. My wife and I, we be muting the TV. I'm not answering calls I should answer. You know, I said, leave a message, because I'm not calling back. Because I'm thinking it's another political call. Lord, have mercy. Where were we? This got me all up over here. Okay, Yahweh was called the iniquity. Yeah, so as we get ready to close, we want to just kind of, we went over it. What doesn't seem fair. We understand it, though. He chose to do that. Adam sinned, his sin was imputed to us. When we sinned, when he sinned, we sinned right along with him. We are viewed just as sinners. And God counted us as having sinned right along with him. So the question is, we're obviously united with Adam. How are we united, joined, or in relationship with Adam? I'm using all the words. How are we united with Adam? How are we joined, Adam? How are we in relationship with Adam? In what way? So how are we? And in what way are we united, joined, and in relationship with Adam. Okay, so let's do some writing here. It's like three ways, but there's a lot of, got to go through a lot of things on here to get to, but anyway. The first way we're going to, now, we're going to kind of in seminary a little bit, but realistically is the term that's being used. Realistically is the term that's being used. There's a whole lot to read on that. I like two other words other than that. I like naturally. Like nature, naturally. And then biologically. I think I spelled that right. I got English majors in here. Did I spell that right? Okay. So let's start with this first view here. Let's start with the first view. How are we joined to, in relationship with, and united with Adam? I'm saying the first way is, they call it realistically, I say naturally and biologically. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We'll just start this. We'll end with this. Verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 9 and 10. Those who've been coming regularly on Monday, Sunday, whatever, is this starting to make a little bit more sense to you? Even more so? No? Yeah. Good. And by the way, I want to warn you. Stay in the scripture. Don't, if it doesn't, the question you may have, if that's not really in scripture, don't worry about it. Don't go beyond scripture. Just understand what he's teaching us right here. That's all we need to know. Don't go beyond when you, with your question, when you have questions on, you know, even though we kind of got into it last time, like where do people go? Did they go to hell? Or did they go out? Let's just stay, we're going to leave all that alone. You know, we're just going to stay right here in scripture. It clearly says that we sin when Adam sinned. Because when Adam sinned, sin entered. And when sin entered, death came. Those are facts. We clearly understand. And so death passed upon all men because all sin. Those are facts. Stay right there. The rest of it, we didn't have to know. Just understand that. And just like he said, through the one man sin came, through the one man came righteousness. Stay right there. And thank God. Amen. All right, so here we go, chapter 7, verse 9. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who? Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes. So the received tithe, we're going to take, that's in the positive, we're going to take it out. Let's read it 9 again. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi paid tithes. You see that? Okay, now verse 10. For because he, who is he? Levi, was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, just a bit of history, I won't get much. Abraham goes in, has a tremendous victory over some kings. And winning that dominating victory, he gets to get the spoils from all of those empires and stuff. So as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings, as the King James has, he runs into this mysterious king, Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, being who he was, a high priest, Abraham gives Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils that he had collected from these kingdoms. Does that make sense? And to honor Melchizedek. For this is long before Levi was ever born. You got that? So if you want to look at, let's do, thank God for being able to demonstrate. So if you look at it, There's Abraham. Abraham. That don't look right. Next, Isaac. I think it's A-A-C. Then there's Jacob. Also known as what? Anybody know?
Israel.
Thank you. Yeah. 12 tribes of Israel. So that's Jacob's name. So, oh, and Israel then has Levi. Okay? So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi. So Levi way down here. So Abraham gives a tenth to Melchizedek. Well, it says here, verse 9, through Abraham, even Levi paid tithes. How? Because he was still in the loins of his father. Don't trip on father, because we know that's not actually, he's a great-grandfather, but the Jewish culture, they don't differentiate between grandfather, father. You're just a father. They don't differentiate between that, because we see Levi's way down here. So Abraham in his loins. So eventually, from Abraham, when he mates with his wife, eventually comes Isaac, Jacob, and eventually from Jacob comes. So in a sense, you follow me, he comes from his. So we're talking about like a family tree in a sense. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes. So just like Theo comes from my loins, because there's Brooke, and then there's from that comes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If you're catching that, whose loins were all of the humanity in? There you go. That's one way we're united with Adam. I'm going to give you a couple of seminary words, okay? And we'll close. So this is also known as the seminal view, I don't know, approach or whatever, and also the germinal point of view. Seminal, I don't mean to be out of order, but from the semen. That's where that word comes from. Seminal or germinal. Germ as in speak, a seed. Yeah, germinate. Things of that nature. So the whole of humanity was in the loins of Adam. Similarly speaking, germinally speaking, because Adam is a physically speaking, naturally speaking, biologically speaking, he's the father of all living. So in that sense, we were united with Adam. And just as Levi was credited with having paid tithes when Abraham, his grandfather, great-grandfather, would have paid tithes, we then are credited with the sin that Adam committed. We're just getting started on it. We'll stop there. But there are two other ways of representation. Well, I'll give them to you. One is a representative view. And the other one is, I had to make up one, the direct sovereignly view. We'll explain that one. And then the last one, really just out of just rationale, that'd be the next viewpoint. So we'll go over all of those as we continue to find out how were we united and related and joined to Adam. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I trust that you're able to get something out of this. Father God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, even though we listen, this is a tough sermon, but I just like to believe that your people are listening and are eager to learn about what you're saying about really us, how you saved us, how you had mercy on us. It's not about logic and rationale. It's about mercy and grace and sovereignty. That's what it's all about. And we are grateful, ever so grateful, that you saved us, filled us, spiritually speaking, healed us. Because sin is spiritual sickness.
Amen.
And salvation is spiritual healing. The balm in Gilead.
Thank you, Lord.
So thankful, so grateful.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Now unto him who was able to keep us from falling and present us faultless for the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. You are the only wise God, our Savior. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now and time, and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.